Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, everybody. We welcome to the show dear friend Kevin Hassett, former chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, distinguished visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution, and author of the great book, The Drift, Stopping America's Slide to Socialism. Thank you, Kevin. Happy Easter. You and Christy.
Yeah, great to be here, Larry.
Just a couple of things here. We had updates on GDP yesterday or the day before. I don't know. I was out kind of under the weather. But just looking at the GDP for the fourth quarter, so much of it was government spending. Like the second biggest category, 4.6% increase, was government spending. And in fact, that's true for the last four quarters. So I know the numbers are good, 3.4%. But nonetheless, a lot of this is big government.
Yeah, it really is. And you and I have talked on your TV show a little bit about the fact that the debt held by the public is going up by more than GDP. And so the example that I like to use when I'm explaining it to folks is just that if you have a small business and you borrow 100 grand and you give your wife 70 grand salary and then you blow 30 grand in Vegas, then at the end of the year, somebody says, how'd you do it? You say, oh, our family income went up by 70 grand. And you're kind of missing the whole point. And so what's going on is that the government is borrowing like crazy, spending like crazy, accumulating, you know, big bills in the future that we're going to have to pay off. And it is giving us a kind of sugar high right now.
I mean, there is, I'm not going to belittle everything in this report. I mean, consumers were spending. A lot of that is related to government. There was some pickup in business structures. Mm-hmm. And equipment, although business equipment keeps falling, it's actually down nearly 1% for the last four quarters. So that's not fabulous. Profits were very strong, though. Profits are the mother's milk of stocks and the economy. So they were very strong. Anyway, what's your assessment of the economy? How do you see life? I want to get to taxes in a second, but
you know, first of all, the weak equipment spending is because of the expiring expensing. So it's exactly what you and I would have predicted would happen. And so now, you know, the cost of buying a new machine for firms is going up a lot, and so therefore they're buying fewer machines. It's not a mystery, but I do think that against the backdrop, there really is, like, the AI revolution really is increasing productivity and profits right now. And so I don't think that the stock market is having irrational exuberance at all. And I think that even with the terrible policies, you know, we're having another bite at the computerized productivity apple that we had in the 90s when we had 5 years in a row of 30% equity returns. I think we could be seeing something like that again right at the beginning because of AI. The Stanford guys that I work with out when I'm out there on this issue are finding really, really big 10 to 20% increases in productivity within a month or two when a firm brings an AI consultant on. And so I think that there is, you know, America's an amazing place and policymakers can screw it up, but America somehow recovers and survives. And I think that actually the economy is better than I expected. And the reason is that there's this incredible productivity thing going on in the background.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And it's generating a lot of profits, and profits are boosting the stock market and profits are boosting the economy. Of course, Biden wants to raise the tax on business, which is crazy, which leads me to, you know, this, we're just talking to John Carney, Breitbart's John Carney.
Oh, yeah, great guy.
About tariffs as a negotiating tool, which is kind of how Trump sees that reciprocity. Kevin, if we offset tariffs, in effect, I don't know that it was done consciously, but in effect, higher tariffs on China. Whoops, there's my dog. Lower.
It's a new dog, too.
higher tariffs on China, but lower taxes on business, on corporations. Okay. Suppose this repeats itself. How possible is it, in your judgment, to reduce the payroll tax and then finance it properly out of lower spending? So there's no problem with the big entitlements. Is a payroll tax something that can and should be looked at?
It is, because everybody wants the middle class, which has been hurt disproportionately by inflation, to have a tax cut. But people in the bottom half of the income distribution don't pay income tax anymore. And so if you want to have a middle class tax cut that lowers marginal rates and encourages work and so on, then you have to go after the payroll tax. Now, everybody's going to say, well, geez, how could you do that? You're going to bankrupt Social Security. As we know, the trust fund is set to run out in the next half a dozen years. And my point is just this, that if you look at today's government spending, which is where the GDP growth is coming from, and compare it to what we thought pre-COVID today's spending would be, we're spending about $1 trillion a year more. And to put that in perspective, the Social Security shortfall over the next 10 years is estimated to be about $2.7 trillion. We're spending $10 trillion more on the Green New Deal and garbage like that when we could have saved Social Security. And so I could imagine returning spending to pre-Biden norms, pre-COVID norms, and then using the money to save Social Security. And there's so much money left over that you could conceivably both save Social Security and reduce the payroll tax.
And that would add quite a growth element, I would think.
Yeah, that's right, because it would encourage work. It would encourage work. And again, like, when you look at the jobs numbers, people say, well, the jobs numbers are strong. But going back to right before COVID, 3.3 million jobs have been created in the U.S. for illegal aliens, and 1 million jobs have been destroyed for people who were living in the U.S. pre-COVID. And so the net creation of 2.3 million jobs is basically all more than explained by all these people flooding across the border and taking jobs away from U.S. citizens. And so the job story is not a happy story, and we got to get people back to work. And one way to do that is to cut the payroll tax.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Right. So if you lower the tax on work, which is really kind of what the payroll tax is, you'll get more work. You'll then lower the demand for government benefits related to work and welfare. Is that? I mean, that's a very healthy story, it would seem to me.
Yeah, that's right. And again, it shows there's always what we economists call an opportunity cost. So when we're doing something, then you're doing that instead of something else you could have been doing. And imagine that we're spending $10 trillion over the next decade on stuff that, like, is there anyone listening right now that's really happy about the government spending out there that's, like, really improved their lives? I mean, we're spending all this money on stuff that's just basically going into John Podesta's pockets and companies and so on. And so my view is that one of the real interesting revolutionary economic things that will happen if there's a change in administration is that if President Trump's come in and controls the White House and controls Congress, then that $10 trillion is something that you could use to improve the economy. And you can do it as part of a budget deal, which is, you know, reconciliation, so it's not subject to filibuster. It only takes 51 votes. And so with control of the Senate, if you think about it, all of this largesse by Joe Biden has, in fact, given President Trump the biggest fiscal policy opportunity in history.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a very positive change for growth, for work, and still allowed to be tough on countries that are protecting their industries and damaging our industries. So I'd like this. I like this whole story. I think we'll have to develop this some more, Kevin Essa. That's what
yes,
I think.
Yes, we will.
All right. Thank you ever so much. Happy Easter again,
happy
as I say.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we're going to do some stock market work. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.